and make you strong in the faith as you have been taught. Your life should be full of thanks to him. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them.
Let's pray. Father God, you see all our joys and all our despair. Help us to give over our fears and anxiety to you this morning. Strengthen our trust in you and bless us with the hope found in the freedom and life brought through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Good morning. For those who don't know me, my name's Vanessa. I was asked to share some reflections this morning. And specifically, I was asked to share about where I've seen hope in my life recently. And when I was asked this, I thought, wow, I'm really not the best candidate to talk about this topic. Having hope is really not one of my strong suits. If you want someone to tell you 10 reasons why a plan won't work, or 5 things that could go terribly wrong in any situation, I'm your girl. In fact, growing up, my dad fondly gave me the nickname Paranoid Android, which is a reference to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, if you know that book. And that was because of my tendency to assume the worst most of the time in all situations. Now, you may be thinking that, despite this character trait, I have a pretty obvious instance of hope in my life to talk about. For those who don't know me, I am 22 weeks pregnant, which is very exciting. This is our first, and actually the first grandchild on both sides, so this is big within our family. thank you. Pregnancy and a new baby are such obvious symbols of hope that you would assume that this reflection would just write itself. But it hasn't. It's actually been a bit of a challenging one. And so I hope you'll indulge me as I reflect a little bit on what this pregnancy has felt like for me. The problem is that I've actually been struggling to feel hopeful for most of my pregnancy. Now, there have been lots of positive feelings throughout the whole thing, excitement, happiness, all the rest. But if I had to pick a theme or a dominant emotion that I've experienced, it would be fear. Sometimes, especially early on, this was fear of miscarriage or fear for the baby's health. When I expressed these fears to my mom, she acknowledged them but also told me that I would need to learn how to manage these kinds of fears now for the rest of my life. Join the club, she said. As I'm sure many of you know, a parent never stops worrying about their child. But all children will inevitably face struggles, pain, and illness that their parents cannot alleviate on their behalf. I cannot guarantee my child a suffering-free life, as much as I might wish to. And right now, that's feeling terrifying. At other times, it's been fear for our baby's future and the world that they're going to inhabit. Generalized fears for the future that have plagued me for years have suddenly felt even more pressing and acute. Concerns about climate change and the effects of coming environmental changes on livelihoods worldwide has been one example of this. For a while, I thought I was the only weird pregnant person who managed to turn the joy of expecting a child into a fear-ridden experience. But when I finally opened up to other pregnant friends about these feelings, I realized I wasn't actually alone in this. One friend shared about the severe climate anxiety that was triggered by her first pregnancy. Her husband bought her a book all about how to be a climate optimist in hopes that this would help. It did not. Another friend shared that some of these fears were the reason why she wasn't sure she wanted to have children at all. My peers and I were in elementary school when we first started learning and talking about climate change and the importance of caring for the environment. I've had about 2 decades now to grapple with how these environmental changes might impact my own life. But now, suddenly, it's feeling different. Caring abstractly about environmental stewardship for all future generations feels different from thinking specifically about how environmental changes will impact this specific future generation. It's easy to feel like I can't control what my child's future world will look like, or if it will be a positive one to inhabit. For me, generally, it's a frequent temptation to believe the lie that the outlook from my current vantage point is exceptionally bleak. That this is a particularly dire time in human history that I'm living through and that I'm bringing a child into. But this isn't true. For one, it ignores the significant stability, support, and health that I've been blessed with. There are many in this world right now who are experiencing pregnancy in far more challenging situations than I am. This feeling is also shown to be untrue when I look over the course of human history and compare our context to that of the past. I am a bit of a history nerd. Please forgive me for sharing a history fact. I think there would be lots of moments in history when, if you were experiencing them with no knowledge of the future or what is to come, that you would feel as if the world as we know it is ending. Having recently come mostly out of the COVID-19 pandemic, I think it would be helpful, or at least I find it helpful, to compare our experience of pandemic to that of the Black Death that ravaged Asia and Europe in the 14th century. Although we can't know exactly how many people were affected, some estimates suggest that up to 45 to 60% of Europe's population died in that pandemic. That's half the people you know in the span of a few short years. For those living in Asia and Europe at the time, it could very well have felt like the world was ending. When I think about human history from this perspective, thinking about all the times and places when it very well could have felt like the world as we know it was over, it's incredible to me that we've continued to press on, to have children in moments or places or situations that felt dire, to welcome new life when we have little to no guarantee of what kinds of lives or world our children are being born into. And yet, we've continued on. In some ways, having a child is an act of faith and trust in and of itself. You welcome a new being into this world who you will try to protect, but can only protect so far, who will have a future you cannot fully predict and certainly cannot control, a future that you can't ensure will be fully and entirely good. In the face of this unknown, maybe the only thing you can do is place your child in God's hands and trust that he will be faithful. I can't know the future, but I do know that God has always been faithful in my life, and I've seen that faithfulness in the lives of my parents and grandparents who've come before me. Perhaps the beginning of any hope I can have for my child is this trust in this God who has never let me down. At least that's what I've come up with so far for dealing with my current fears and anxieties. But I know we have lots of parents and uncles and aunts and grandparents in this room, so if you have wisdom, I would welcome your insight. One scriptural connection that has helped me find hope during this pregnancy has been, quite predictably, Mary's story in the Gospels. I actually found myself pretty emotional during our Advent services this year, partly likely because of the pregnancy hormones, but also partly because the story of the Annunciation and Incarnation just hit slightly differently this year. The fear that Mary likely would have felt when she was visited by Gabriel was more palpable. I was finding my own anticipated, wanted, and very earthly pregnancy as a married 30-year-old scary enough. Mary had many, many more reasons than I did to be consumed with fear and anxiety over what this announcement would mean. And this comparison made Mary's humble acceptance of her pregnancy all the more inspiring. I've been continuing to think about Mary as we walk through Lent towards Easter. Specifically, I've been wondering what it would have been like for Mary to walk with Jesus towards the cross, to watch her son suffer so much. Mary knew before her son was born that he would be called the Son of God. Gabriel told her this. But did she understand what that meant? Did she know that her son was born in order to die, and that his death would be so very painful? We know from the story of young Jesus' visit to the temple in Jerusalem that Mary recognized her son as special, that she continued to wonder about his unusual behavior and what that might mean. But did she have any inclination of what his future ministry would look like, both the miracles he would perform, but also the negative reactions he would receive? John tells us that Mary stood by the cross watching Jesus die. But did she know that his death wasn't the end? Did she have any idea what would come 3 days later? Did Mary, who had accepted God's vocation for her so bravely and humbly 33 years earlier, lose hope as she stood next to the cross? In that moment, did she think death had won? The gospel writers don't give us any indication. They don't really talk about what was going through Mary's mind. But I like to think that if anyone could have found hope in that moment, it might have been Mary, the woman who sang the Magnificat when she found herself pregnant and unmarried as a teenager. Mary trusted God in a moment that could have been her darkest hour, if we're thinking about the potential social implications of her situation, what it meant for her life. And I'd like to think that she could have found a way to continue trusting God through her son's darkest hour as well. The resurrection was not possible without the crucifixion. And the joy of Easter requires the despair of Good Friday to come first. There's no indication that Mary knew exactly what would happen that third day after her son died. But I believe that the Mary who trusted Gabriel's words and promises so completely and implicitly all those years earlier could still have been able to trust, standing next to the cross, that Jesus' story wasn't over. Maybe that hope was still lingering in her mind when she went to the tomb. Even if she didn't know how his story would end, she could still hope in the God who had always been faithful to her, to the God who would eventually make all things right. And so that's what I'm working on right now. I would like to learn to trust and maybe even hope like Mary. Now we're going to move into an activity that Catherine has prepared for us. This is an exercise in hope through an expression of faith. And specifically, what we're going to be doing is planting some seeds. Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And so this morning, we're going to be planting seeds of hope. There is much mystery in pushing a seed into the darkness of the soils, believing something new and beautiful will grow. There are three stations. We've got one right there, one there, and then one at the back there. So please find your way to a station and plant some seeds. There's packages of seeds at each station. We invite you to plant 2 seeds in each little pod and cover the seed with soil. If you're a gardener and you're down to just put your hands in and fill each pod with soil, go for it. If you're not as much of a fan of dirt, we do have some gloves at each station that you are free to use. As you do, we are inviting you to pause and reflect. Plant the seed and allow it to represent hope in something you are grieving and invite God's light in, an area in your life you desire God to transform, an empty space, an unknown, or a concern where you desire to experience God's hope. These seeds will grow into colorful flowers, which we will plant in the gardens outside this community center to represent hope. So please find your way to a station, and when you are done planting, you are welcome to return to your seat for some quiet reflection, and then we're going to sing our final song together.
Stand with us if you're able for our last song.
Thank you.
May God's presence continue to dwell among us as we depart from this place. May the words we have heard, the songs we have sung, and the prayers we have offered be seeds of transformation in our lives. And may we be confident that in Christ we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Amen. Thank you.